Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Adecoagro's fourth quarter 2020 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Adecoagro. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question-and-answer session. At that time, instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star then zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on currently available information. They involve risk and uncertainties because they relate to future events and expectations and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Adecoagro and could result to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion on these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to the quarterly annual Adecoagro filings with the Chilean CMF and U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now I'll turn the call over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Adecoagro. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks and welcome everyone to this conference call for the results of the fourth quarter of 2020. So as usual, we will begin with a financial review that we can see in page number four with the main figures of the company. We can see that we were able to increase revenues 12.5% to $1.35 billion during the quarter. Net income went up from $36 million in the third quarter to $75 million in the fourth quarter of 2020. We had an increase of 31% of our EBITDA from $291 million to $381 million, and our net leverage went down from 5.4 to 4.8. Our net debt went up from 4.9 billion to 5.13 billion dollars. We go to page number five and we look a little bit in detail of the revenues. We can see that this increase of 12.5% was driven mainly by an increase in $110 million in the pulp division, which is at the same time caused by an increase in 18% in sales volume. We also had an increase in average prices of 5.4% in the pulp division. In the case of the wood product division, sales increased in $60 million, about 8.3%, and that was driven in this case by an increase in average prices, especially in the panel division, and an increase in volume that is more skewed to the wood solid wood division inside the wood products divisions. We can see there that the distribution of sales was 56% wood products and 42.6% pulp. In the case of cost of sales, the reason behind the 7.6% increase in cost of sales is basically the increase in volume that we talked before, and inside those cost, we see that timber cost went up $21 million, sawmilling services $7.5 million, and forestry labor cost $6.6 million. In terms of unitary cost of pulp, the main increase is we can see that is in unbleached softwood pulp 6.7%. In this case, it's driven by a lower volume of production because of annual stoppage in the Constitución mill that was done during the fourth quarter. This is a normal annual maintenance. Now, if we go to page six, we saw an increase in administrative expenses. This is driven basically mainly by donation, an increase in contribution and scholarship, and also some increases in labor cost that was done because some layoff that we did at the end of the quarter. This was compensated by a decrease in insurance expenses of $1.7 million. So administrative expenses were $134 million for the quarter. In distribution costs, we also see the impact of the increase in volume of sales. That caused an increase in freight cost of $18.5 million. That is most of the $16.3 million of increase in distribution costs. The total costs in this line were $146 million. Page 7, now talking about other income and other expenses, we had an increase in other income of $55.4 million to a total of $108 million. This is basically explained by an increase in other income as for sales of assets. So we have a sale of assets in Brazil that we saw. We sold some land in Paraná, about 13,000 hectares. And we also sold some right of pass in Chile, and the total is about 20 million of those is plus the effect on that in other income. We also had gain of changes in fair value biological assets of $11 million more than the third quarter. In other expenses, those were increased by $25 million or 25%. And this is basically that in the third quarter we had a lower deterioration of assets of line one because we made an adjustment in the life of the asset, which was again caused by the postponement of the startup of MAPA. So now line one, which was decided to stop initially in March, now is stopping in September. So that's why we made an adjustment in the path of deterioration that we're doing to that assets on the third quarter. That is the impact that caused the difference. And then we have other effects like $2 million decrease in loss and repair of assets. So an increase in other income and an increase in other expenses. Now in page 8, looking now at the summary of the net income, we already talked about the top lines, and we can look here that we had stable financial cost of $66 million. We had a higher losses for exchange rate differences. Instead of a gain of $14 million, we had a loss of $22 million. And this is basically observing the Chilean subsidiaries where we saw a movement in the Chilean peso that affected the lines that were denominated in that currency. The other effect that we can see here is that we have higher income tax accrued for almost $50 million compared to $21 million, and this is basically explained by a higher income before tax of $124 million and some adjustments in the deferred tax assets that caused movements in that line. Page 9, looking at the evolution of the EBITDA, we can see that we have been increasing our EBITDA starting in the third quarter, but now materialized in the fourth quarter with a very good margin of 28% EBITDA margin. And this is comparable with the numbers that we had at the end of 2018. And also worth noting here is that the wood product division had a bigger EBITDA than the pulp division, so almost $200 million EBITDA in the wood product division. So that is worth mentioning. And you can see there in the graph showing the differences between the third quarter and the fourth quarter that the main impact is an increase of $56 million in the wood product division, that in this case is almost 40% higher EBITDA than the other quarter. Okay. Now, if we talk a little bit more in detail about the business segment, so starting page 11, talking about the pulp division. First of all, looking at the price indexes graph over there, we can see the sharp increase of prices in the indexes notices at the end of the year and most especially at the first quarter. We can see the old indexes going up again to levels that we saw in 2018. If we look at the China indexes that are at the bottom of that, the line, the orange and the green line, we can see that now we have prices of softwood that are close to $900 and prices of hardwood that are a little bit over $700. That is a $200 spread between short fiber and long fiber, which is kind of the highest that we have seen. And if we compare it to the previous call, we had a $150 spread. Now we have a $200 spread. In terms of the increase in the demand, we can see that we had up to October an increase in 2.6% globally. That was mainly explained by increase in China and North America, compensated by a decrease in West Europe. In terms of inventories, we can see that as of December, we were at 35 days for both fibers, 34 and 36, which is a big decrease compared to September, which we were 42 days for BSKP and 43 days for BHKP. So they're very healthy levels of inventory as to the end of December. Page 12, we can see the increase in the EBITDA of the pulp division from $104 to $122 million in the fourth quarter. That is a 17% increase and also almost 80% more than the fourth quarter of 2019. This is explained by good volumes of sales. You can see there that we sold 1,046,000 tons on the fourth quarter, which is very good, and we were able to decrease inventories basically because of better sales and also because of lower production. So our inventories went down 120,000 tons more or less in the period. So very, very good volume sales, and also what we saw in terms of prices, and you can see that in the graph, that prices started to go up, especially in softwood at the during the quarter. We started with prices of $565 for softwood, and we ended up $640. So it's like an $80 increase during the quarter. At the same time, the prices for hardwood were kind of stable during the quarter, so they end up with $475 per ton. So, and this increase in softwood was basically explained by higher demand in printing and writing, packaging, specialty paper industries. So at the end, strong demand coming from China, which was an economy that continued growing during the pandemic. Also, we saw good demand from Europe as a result of higher operating rates and some problems in supply chains and low import of paper products. In terms of dissolving pulp, which we have added in the graph, we saw a very good increase in prices from $635 per ton to $725 per ton. So that was how we ended the fourth quarter, with prices increases in softwood and stable prices in hardwood. Regarding now on page 13, the outlook and what happened in the first quarter of 2021, we saw a sharp increase in prices, and you can see that in the graph that starting from softwood, that we ended up with $640, we were able to raise prices to $810 in February and then again to $900 per ton in March. And a sharp increase in hardwood from $475 to $730 for March shipments. So it's a very sharp increase in a short period of time, monthly increases that we haven't seen before, that help us improve our margins probably during the first and second quarter. We have also added here the price of dissolving pulp, which is now selling at $1,050 per ton. So it's very good for our sales of dissolving pulp coming from our Valdivia mill. So in terms of what we are seeing, the market looks very healthy, strong demand, and we also seen some restrictions in supply affected by the maintenance stoppage that were postponed during the COVID pandemic in 2020 and then started to be done in 2021. So that is helping restrict a little bit the supply, and also what we have seen is some logistical problems of the lack of containers and basically caused by the increasing demand for durable goods and other commodities that is pushing some logistical problems through the vessels availability and containers in the world. So that is also helping lower inventories and helping price increases. The other thing that was shown here is the pulp mill's days of stoppage. So we did all the stoppages committed for the fourth quarter. In the first quarter, we already done the line one of Arauco, Nueva Aldea, and we are currently doing the Valdivia stoppage, which is a 9-day stoppage. For the second quarter, we have planned Arauco Line 2, Licancel, which is a small line, and the Alto Paraná mill for 24 days, which is also a rather small line of production. Then the third quarter, we don't have stoppages planned, and then in the fourth quarter, we will have the Constitución mill stoppage for 35 days, and the Montes del Plata for 10 days. Now moving to wood products, here we have seen also a very good quarter that also surprised us if we take into account what was happening in the second quarter during the pandemic. But we had a 40% increase in EBITDA and 170% compared to a year ago. So it's almost $200 million EBITDA, which is explained in the case of panels because of a 6% price increase. And in the case of solid wood, basically by volume and price. So we had 12% increase in volume and also a 6% increase in price. Compared to 1 year ago, numbers look very good. And the explanation for this basically is higher demand. A trend that continued during the previous quarter because of consumption encouraging measures taken by different governments, the recovery of construction, repair and remodeling, that is affecting almost all the markets, and we're going to see one we talk about in the outlook. And in the case of plywood, we are seeing record prices. Prices increased by 9% compared to last quarter, and volume by 7.3%. So this is especially benefiting our sales in the U.S., where we sell most of our plywood. Page 15, we can see the increase in volume in sawn timber in the second graph there to 675,000 cubic meters in the quarter. In the case of panels, volumes are more or less stable. Our mills are running at very good capacity, almost 24/7 in all of our markets. And in the case of plywood, we also saw an increase in production, in sales to 141,000 cubic meters. Page 16, our main market for wood products is North America, that has 50% of our sales. And we have seen in all of markets, especially in remanufactured wood products, but also in particle board MDF, with a strong demand, with higher repair and remodeling, and strong new construction segments. And we expect that these conditions will last until the second quarter of this year. Of course, depending on what happens with any second or third wave of COVID-19. But there's some restricted logistics in the market, but we expect that probably the successful vaccination process will help that to increase the demand. Basically, there's more disposable income in some of the markets. People are not traveling or going to restaurants and spending more time at their homes and dedicating more of percentage of their income to renovation and repair. So that is helping demand for wood products everywhere almost in the markets. In the case of the U.S., we have seen that, and the impact is seen in their manufactured wood products, in plywood, where have reached record levels. And you can see also in the housing starts. As of January, we were at 1.6 million houses per year. We don't have numbers for newer than January, but we expect that construction will be growing as people try to move from apartment to houses and looking for more space. And like it's more helpful that now they are working from home most of the time. In page 17, we look at the other markets. The other one that is worth mentioning is Central and South America. We have there Brazil, Chile, Argentina, the main markets. And everywhere, you have seen the situation replicating. I mean, we have stronger demand than supply in Brazil, in Chile, also in Argentina, where we have been able to raise prices in all four markets. Probably the situation in Brazil could be a little bit more complicated because of COVID complications that could be affect the market. But until now, we have seen very good markets and very good results also in Brazil. Other markets like Asia and Oceania, Europe and Middle East are also booming. We have seen the same trend in all of our markets, good results, and we expect that the wood products division will have a also a very good first half of the year because of the continued demand and also the delay between order and shipment that we have in this market. I think that the only challenge in this market could come from logistics, especially from the export that we do from Chile using containers because of the availability of containers and the increasing freight rates that could affect some of the sales from Chile. But in the other markets like the U.S., Brazil, Argentina, where we sell local and produce local, we shouldn't have any effect on logistics. Page 18, now looking at the cash flow. Even though we had a better EBITDA, that you can see there from 290 to 380, our free cash flow was negative 80 million, and the main explanation comes from a line of others that was higher in the third quarter because of bad VAT returns and other cash receipts that were not taken into account in the EBITDA. We also had a more interest pay in the fourth quarter of 80 million. And this was compensated a little bit by the sale of land in Brazil and right of past that is shown there in others, $44 million. And we had a stable CapEx expense of $450 million, more or less, comparing one quarter to the other. So the other effect was that in the third quarter, we had the capital injection of $250 million, which is shown in the cash from financing activities, net of debt. So that effect made that this free cash flow was negative, a small amount, but negative anyway, and that caused our net debt to go up from 4.9 billion to 5.1 billion at the end of the quarter. The main increase in this also net debt is caused by exchange rate and inflation variation. Okay, but that net increase was compensated by increasing in last 12 months EBITDA. As you can see in the page 19, we were able to decrease our leverage from 5.4 to 4.8 because of our last 12 months increased by almost 19%. So that compensated the increase in net debt that is caused by the negative free cash flow. We hope that this last 12 months will continue increasing as we include better quarters and we start not taking into account the last 12 months, the worst quarters of the year 2020. In terms of our cash, cash went down from 1.16 billion to 1.065, and our total debt went up from 6 billion to 6.2 billion dollars. Page 20, our amortization schedule for this year, we had to pay about $370 million, which is basically concentrated in bank loans. So $215 million in bank loans, which are basically in MDP. Montes de Plata is paying the install of their export debt that was taken for the financing of the mill there, so paying every semester with their own cash. And then we have some $64 million leasing that are accounted under IFRS of debt, basically in Chile. In terms of bond obligations, the $91 million there is basically amortization of local bonds. So no big amortization of bonds this year or the next one, because we already did a debt liability process in 2019 to finance our MAPA project. The big amortization comes only in 2024, where we had the $540 million payable of bonds, basically. So now, going to the material facts and news, in page 22, we want to show that we were able to prove that we are the first carbon-neutral forestry company in the world. We did a process to certify our net emissions with Deloitte and PricewaterhouseCoopers. So we used the carbon neutrality operations under the guidelines of the Deloitte Neutrality Protocol. So we have a net emissions of negative 2.6 million tons of CO2, and that is divided by emissions of 4.33 million tons, which includes scope 1, 2, and 3, and also the forest fires that release CO2. That is compensated by 6.9 million tons captured by our native forests, forest plantations, and the carbon stored in our products. That's a differential because we produce forest wood products. We had a longer capture of CO2 in our products than other forestry companies. So we are very happy to be able to show that we are the first one to be carbon neutral, and also that is certified by third parties using a scientific way of calculating it. Page 23, our cash and liquidity, it continues to be very strong, about $1.4 billion divided in $1 billion in cash available, and also a committed facility for $375 million that is that was renewed in February 2020, so we still have 4 years of validity for this line. Also, we have the availability of the $450 million of capital injections that is committed by Empresas Copec to be dispersed during the 2021 if it's necessary. Then page 24, an update of MAPA. MAPA progress as of February was 78%. As you know, we have already acquired and received the main equipment, and we are completing a very, very speedy phase the construction and assembly of equipment. You can see there a photograph of the mill. We have done the power boiler test. We are assembling the continuous digester, installing the top separator, finishing the DD washers already. We are energized the line 2 substation, and we have also agreed on the new access to the project that is to be constructed. This construction has been done during the pandemic, which is a very big challenge. For that, we have tried to detect earlier all the people that have the virus. So we are doing currently more than 2,000 PCR exams per day. So we have 5 test centers in the site, and up to date now we have completed 170,000 PCR tests to our employees in the project. So it is a big challenge, and we have been able to advance, and we expect that this mill would start producing at the beginning of the fourth quarter of 2021. At that time, as we mentioned earlier, line 1 of Arauco, which produces 300,000 tons of eucalyptus pulp, will be shut down, definitely. So that is what I had in my presentation. I would like to open for Q&A right now. If you have any questions about the results or the market, happy to respond. Thanks.
The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. And the first question will come from George Staphos with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Gianfranco. How are you? Congratulations on the results, and thanks for the details. I had a couple of questions, and then I'll be fair and turn it over. I guess, first of all, can you comment to the degree to which current market pricing on average in wood, in your wood products, are above the exit pricing or the average pricing that you had in the fourth quarter? There's always a bit of a lag. I would imagine that current market prices are well above what you realized in the fourth quarter. Is there a way to put some quantification around that so that we can then try to model for the first quarter what your results might look like across all your wood product lines? Again, to the extent you can talk. And then the second question I had, you talked about China and seeing good demand, good fundamentals, I think you said, in packaging, and printing and writing and specialty. I didn't hear you comment on tissue. Can you talk to the degree to which you're seeing good trends in tissue? And then had one follow-on, time allowing.
Okay. Thanks, George. Well, in wood products, it's very difficult because we have a lot of products, a lot of markets. But my feeling is that the situation is more or less stable if you think about the fourth quarter and the first quarter. I mean, the good situation has continued. I haven't seen any big increases in prices. I mean, probably in plywood we can see that prices have gone up compared to fourth quarter, but the rest of the market, I think the volume has continued and the good margins. So I would say that it could be more or less stable. There could be some effect of the shipments delay and the current and the trend in the fourth quarter could be more seen in the in the fourth quarter seen more in the first quarter, but that has to be with the delays of shipments, especially coming from Chile. Probably volumes coming from Chile will be hurt a little bit in the first quarter because of some delays in shipment caused by logistic problems that was more acute in the first quarter than in the fourth quarter. So probably volumes could be lower, especially coming from Chile. The rest of the markets, as I told you, are local markets and we deliver by truck and we shouldn't have any problem in the other markets. But some export of wood products, especially solid wood, could be affected by shipments. But I will say that the sentiment is that we are in the same place that we were on the fourth quarter in terms of demand and good margins. In terms of demand in China, what we have heard is that the order file of our clients is very good. As I said, printing and writing, container board, tissue also. There's some talk about a lot of new machines being started in China in tissue. We don't know the size of those machines, but I mean the number is could be something like, I don't know, more demand, more than like, I don't know, 2 million tons of pulp, something like that. I don't know if this is going to materialize, but there's some feeling that the demand for tissue is strong also in China. We have to see that how things go, but the talk over there is that a lot of new tissue machines being started during the year. That has to be probably that people are more washing their hands more frequently and using more tissue, and so they are very optimistic, I would say, in China, our clients in this quarter.
Very good. And one quick follow-on: you had called out in your published materials a competitor issue in plywood with logistics that gave you some opportunity. I don't know if you can share a bit more detail in terms of what you're referring to there. And to China back on pulp, you know, how would you say inventories are for your customers? Again, broad question, I realize, but at their locations, are they above average, below average, average? How would you quantify it? Thank you, and good luck in the quarter.
Well, I don't have the information exactly for that competitor, so I cannot give you that information, especially who is. I mean, that's a comment coming from our commercial department. But I don't know myself which one is especially, and so I cannot tell you that. In terms of inventories, as I told you, or the order file is very good, and the feeling is that inventories are very good, are not. They're not holding much inventory at this point, the Chinese buyers. So probably because of logistic delays, the inventory is more in the middle of the chain. I mean, in waiting for to be delivered in ports and things like that, rather than in the clients or in the producers. But the feeling, as I told you, of our clients is like they are very optimistic. They have a good order file, good demand for their products, and they're not holding a lot of inventory, and I would say that probably is normal or low, not high.
Thank you very much, Gianfranco.
Thank you.
The next question will come from Isabella Vasconcelos with Bradesco BBI. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. I have a couple on my side. So on pulp first, just following up on the previous question, so since, you know, fundamentals seem to be very healthy, do you see further upside, you know, in the next couple of months for softwood and hardwood pulp prices? You know, futures are pointing out to, you know, softwood prices up to $950 or even $1,000. Do you think that, you know, the market and the clients can absorb these price levels? And the second question on the dissolving wood pulp market, of course, the uptrend has also been very strong. I was wondering if, you know, this very strong market conditions would make you ramp up Valdivia volumes faster than otherwise you would have, and what volume level are you expected to produce at Valdivia for 2021? These are my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Isabella. Well, as I mentioned, and you already know, the pulp prices have gone very quickly to levels that we haven't seen since 2018, and we were not expecting that kind of increase. So if there's further upside, very difficult to know. Personally, I think that we would prefer to be more moderate increases because we wanted to enjoy these prices for longer. I mean, to have it for longer the year rather than pressuring for big increases. So in our case, we prefer to be moderate increases. Of course, it will depend on competition and how we see that, and that will be evaluated every month as we negotiate prices and with our clients. But personally, we think that we would prefer more moderate increases, but would have it with longer. We don't want to have prices gone very high levels and then fall very quickly again. So that is what we expect, but we, of course, we'll see how the market develops in the coming month. In terms of dissolving pulp, we are currently planning to produce the maximum we can with Valdivia. I mean, that's our intention. We have contracts with clients that we want to fulfill, and so we expect to have the thing that we planned, which is to run as fast as we can and produce the most dissolving pulp that we can in the mill that has a capacity of 500,000 tons. So we don't expect to be producing a lot of paper grade. It will probably depend more on the stoppage of the mill and the current production situation, but we will want to produce as much as we can in dissolving pulp because margins are very good, and also because we have to comply with the contracts of our clients that are very satisfied with the products. The quality is very good, and they are asking for more of our dissolving pulp.
That's clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question will come from Marcio Farid with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions on my side as well. The first one is on MAPA, Gianfranco. I wanted to understand from you, how confident or comfortable are you with the early fourth quarter 2021 startup? Is there a risk that we see further delays, either because of COVID, strict protocols, or whatever reason? Could we see being delayed to early next year or to later in this year? How comfortable are you with this early fourth quarter 2021 startup? And the second question, maybe just a follow-up on dissolving. You just mentioned that you reached a good quality and clients are asking for more. Can you just let us know how much you sold last year and what is the commercial strategy here? Is it to sell most on contracts or to sell also some spot volumes? Do you have some kind of breakdown you want to reach, or how much you've secured in terms of contracts so far? Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Marcio. Well, how comfortable am I? Well, I expect that we can get to that target. As I told you, it's difficult because we are in full speed constructing. We have a lot of people on the site, and we have COVID everywhere everywhere in the world, we say. We are doing a lot of testing. Our strategy is to test very frequently the employees, at least once a month, but we are doing more frequently than that in order to isolate people that could be contagious. And that is, I think, the biggest risk is that we have a contagious that will delay construction companies. And so, but I think that we are moderately optimistic that we're going to be able to start. But we will see it month by month how we see the progress. Currently, as I said, we are 77%. We are already testing some of the equipment. So So we are in a good path to reach that target. But right now, I cannot say if we're going to be delayed or not. I hope that we can do it. I'm pretty optimistic about that. But I would say we will have more information probably in a couple of months from now. We can tell you if we're going to reach that target. Currently, we are working with almost 9,000 people at the site and at a good pace. So every month, we see advance, and we expect to keep it that way. In terms of volume, we were able to sell a little bit more than 100,000 tons last year. So that was because we produced probably 200,000 or something like that, and we had to have some stock and all that, so we didn't sell a lot. We are, of course, expecting to sell a lot more during this year as we have been producing we're producing most of the time the solvent pulp. So our plan was to produce about 500,000 tons of the solvent pulp this year. So we will see if we are able to reach that target. We hope so. The mill is producing well, and we expect to sell all that. I mean, to maintain the inventories and be able to sell about the production of the mill. So we won't be producing a lot of paper grade from that mill. So that is also a deduction of supply from paper grade from our side compared to last year.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
The next question will come from Hernan Kisluk with MetLife. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Gianfranco. Thank you for the call and congratulations on the results for the quarter. My question is regarding costs at the wood products division. Doing some kind of back of the envelope math, calculating a cost per cubic meter just by calculating the difference between revenues and EBITDA per cubic meter, there is a clear downward trend from the last, let's say, couple of years, almost 2 years now, that quarter after quarter cost measured this way have been declining. Could you maybe comment on that and what is behind this declining cost and how sustainable they are going forward?
Yes, thank you, Hernan. Well, yes, that's true. I mean, I think there's two reasons. Basically, we have been working from a long time in reducing cost of production in wood products, basically by adding more technology and replacing labor over there. We have shut down some of the older mills like we did in the United States. And also, the increase in volume of production, the utilization of our mills has been bigger the last two quarters, they say, because of higher demand. And that also has helped us decrease, again, the cost, the fixed cost by diluting in the total cost. So it's a work for many years, plus more demand that now we are running almost 100% in all of our mills. In the normal times, in some of the markets, we run at 80%, 75%, some shifts we didn't produce in order to be aligned with the demand. And currently we have very good demand, so we're running 100%, and we are enjoying also the work that we did in the past in being more productive in labor and other costs. So that's why you have seen that the EBITDA, the main cost probably is lower cost and higher volume rather than price increases.
Thank you very much.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Please hold again while we poll for questions. And the next question will come from Jens Spiess with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Most of my questions have been answered. Just very briefly, if you could give us the new impairment schedule of the Arauco one line. Thank you.
Yes, the impairment is going to be very low. It's like, it's like $1.5 million a month, more or less. The mill has a savage value of about $30 million, that some equipment that we're going to reuse in line two, another water treatment plant, things like that. So what we have to impair is about $1.5 to $1.8 million a month, more or less. It's not a lot.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question will come from George Staphos with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hey, Gianfranco, just a quick cleanup question. So you mentioned that the other income grew by about $55 million, and you said the majority of that was, or the largest generator of that was the asset sales. And then you mentioned the figure of $20 million. So was $20 million actually the total for the asset sales, or was that related to just the rite of passage? I wasn't clear on that. Thanks for that cleanup, and again, have a good quarter.
Well, the effect in the result was about $20 million in total, which is about $5 million gain in the sale of the Brazilian assets and $14 million in the right of use. But the cash received is higher because, I mean, in the case of the Brazilian assets, we receive about $36 million. And the right of use is everything that we receive is gain because there's no accounting value for the right of use. So that is more or less the division.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Okay, again, thanks for attending this call. If you have any other further questions, our investor relations team is available for that. And we will meet again probably at the beginning of May for the results of the first quarter. So, bye, and thanks for attending.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect your lines at this time and have a nice day.